Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Andrei Kailik, I can't tell you how happy I am to be up here on stage with you. We've been watching you and just looking forward to your finish really ever since day one. It is so exciting to have you up here. One of the most spectacular finishes, and there is no exaggeration there at all in Ram history. Incredible what you just did.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. It took a while and coming up with the sort of dream to come do Ram and actually and just getting qualified and getting there. So for me, that was the biggest part of it, was just sticking with it and being determined to figure out how I was gonna, you know, come up with solutions to all the different aspects of it. You know, from physically being out there doing it to funding it to getting the team that I would need to do it. So it was really extremely rewarding just to make the start, and you know, I think anybody who has, you know, they realize, you know, what that takes and how many people that takes to come together to do it. So you know, I definitely feel lucky to have had the opportunity to even try to do this. That in itself is something that a lot of people who could do Ram don't get. So I feel fortunate in that.
And that's, I want to talk about that some, because, you know, I see a number of racers at the end of a 500-mile race or even at the end of Raw that they just look completely trashed, and they're just like, I can't wait to go to the start of Ram. tell us some about the trials you went through in qualifying for Ram and just getting to the point where you could enter, and what made you decide to go ahead and take that step.
I started racing. I had a train accident back in 2003, and I didn't start racing until 2011 or so. And yeah, my starting point was, you know, I went into the Challenge Athletes Foundation, charity triathlon in San Diego, and a year later I was doing Kona. And so it was just something that I enjoyed, liked, got into, and you know, was online like, yeah, what's next, you know. And so from there, I started doing some ultras, and it was just hearing from other people what they were doing, and it sounded cool. And a lot of the times, it was because someone hadn't done it in a wheelchair. And it wasn't so much that I needed to be the first, but I wanted to go, like, figure something out. That's a big part of the enjoyment of the challenge to me. So that progression was so fast that when I decided Ram was next, I just thought, okay, I'd heard of this race. You know, Carlos Maleda, a friend of mine, is one of the first on the 8-man team to do it in hand cycles. And so I figured I would just train up like I did for everything else and figure out how you have to qualify and go do it. And that was my plan. So I went down to, I went down to SoCal 400, the first, you know, greater than 170 mile bike race that I've ever done. Beginning of May 8th, and I was planning to do Ram June 16th, 2015, like a month and a week later. So that wasn't gonna work. And you know, that's what's awesome, I think, about this race and sort of ultra cycling. You can get by on you know, very little training knowledge, and even equipment for a lot of endurance sports. And there's no easy way to just jump out and do this. You know, you have to fight a lot of the things that I am not terribly good at. So, you know, planning, organizing, patience. So that first trial,
that's why we have crew chiefs.
Yeah. So the first attempt ended about 28 hours in. You have 32 right to make the finish line, and I had no experience with ever quitting a race. Just sort of I go out there and I keep going and then finish and it's great. So for this particular one, we had crossed back over the mountains, the profiles all downhill. You know, it's 60 miles left, and got to the bottom of a short descent and saw my van going up a hill. I was in pain. I was tired. Pulled to the side of the road. I fell asleep for a quick bit, and then it's like, I'm done. I don't care. I don't need more than 5 more hours of this. So that was a great insight to, like, you. Quitting does happen. You do ride that ridge line where you can fall down either side, and you almost have no control over which side it is. And seeing that my crew were the only people in the position to help me, you know, nobody else is going to help me finish. I was over it, and realizing that I had to find a team that I could sort of put that on, that responsibility. So during that race, I kind of didn't enjoy it that much, and thought, I don't need to put myself through this stuff. I don't want to do longer races. But right immediately after, you know, on the plane ride home, I was already thinking, all right, how can I do this? You know, how can I figure it out? And it wasn't that I wanted to so much go physically put myself through that. It was that, all right, you started with this idea. I need to follow through. You know, there's like certain things like this, at least, that really pulls me. A lot of other things in life are just a fight, and so I didn't want to give up on the one thing that you know, really sucked me in for the ride. So I tried a couple others. I went to Borrego for the 24-hour. The first time, I think I was right around 358 miles, 360-something. I don't actually remember. So I was well short, but my only goal for that race was to ride my bike for 24 hours, you know, knock it off, and I did that, and then I tried another time at Borrego. There's big gaps in between because I was always trying to focus on other things in life and didn't have the money to race. Didn't feel like I was in a position to put that much effort into it, but so I'd kind of limp along and try another race and another race. So the last August, I was riding with some guys in the Bay Area, and one of them just, you know, was like, hey, I want to help you fund RAM. And I've got some cyclist friends, you know, and, that can help. And so that's when I thought, okay, the money's there. I want to do this. Sort of in age and all of that, this is a chance to just, like, make it happen. Put my efforts into it and give it a go. So I really trained up, had a different approach, showed up in Borrego sort of ready to nail the 400 mile number. And about 4 a.m., I was well on pace, and just out of nowhere, my frame snapped clean in half.
No way.
And, I mean, nothing happened, just cranking and just hit dirt. And the neck sort of just below the drivetrain right here, just clean in half. And so,
wow.
I don't know, you know that area, like, it's not very densely populated, though, 16 miles in, but anybody awake heard me cursing, because I was really pissed off. So I didn't hit the target. I got a ride in and on a backup bike and just kind of played around. And I talked to Fred at great length after that race and just said, you know, I've been working with, you know, so-and-so. I've been talking to everybody I possibly can for the last 2 years to figure out the things I need to know to go try RAM. What is there some other race? You know, 24 hours is not great for me. The problem is that the speed is just too high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my percentage of sort of max speed, I'm closer to that than I think a cyclist during those races. It's also not a great simulation of RAM, right? You don't have a crew out there with you, a van with backup bikes and all of that. So we talked about getting my crew together, go doing the SoCal 400 course, and if that would be acceptable to qualify. So I went and did that in January with Matt.
Of this year.
And, I mean, we just smoothed it. It was super simple, super easy. That's where I got to work with Matt for the first time, and that's how I wanted a race to be. You know, it was very clean, still fun. And the Toronto's, you know, for the first time, and I was like, well, this changes everything. I can bullshit my way from start to finish line of every race, just having a fun, and call them up for drinks when I need it. So yeah, I mean, it came together pretty quickly, and I mean, a lot of the reason that that we're here today and not yesterday is because it was pretty quick, you know, thrown together, and had a lot of bike issues, a lot of mechanicals, you know, a lot of things that, again, you know, a naive Andre walked out there to go and do. And, you know, the crew did an awesome job of adapting as needed. Matt had his game plan for kind of, we talked and what I had done in the past with racing and how he did RAM and what I had been advised by other people, and kind of came up with what was the best. And I mean, for the most part, we stuck with that from start to finish. We made the adjustments that we had kind of knew were things that we'd move around, when to sleep. But it was a good twirl out there.
Now, I've never been in a hand cycle, so just looking at this, I do have a couple of questions. I do want to talk to you some about the race as well, but it looks to me like you, to get to your brake, have to lean way forward over your chainring and your chain.
Yeah.
Especially when you're getting sleepy, that looks like it could be kind of scary because your face is really close to that chainring.
I never thought about that. We did play.
I'll shut up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When we did place a new water bottle rack right there on the headset, bolt, and so that's a great place to lean against or fall asleep against your water bottle. Slots in there, but I mean, the best thing about having a chainring right there is any issue, I mean, you don't stop, you just keep rolling and you can problem solve and fix it as you go, which I did a lot. I started with another fork and I was running disc brakes. I have Campy, they're EPS electronic, and then I had some issues and switched back to this, but I think probably the disc brakes are the biggest for hand cycle, you know, because I think
you liked them.
I think it's more similar to a car than a regular bike would be, right? You can't just grab front brake on a bike, but on a car, that's the biggest, strongest brake you have. And on this, that's the only brake I have, but it's also just the way the weight is all low and behind that, you can pull that brake as hard as you want. So just having something that has power, you know, modulates nice. My descending was the first time I enjoyed it, you know, especially
it
long, you know, 8 mile or whatever descents.
And at what point did you have to get away from the disc wheel and go with a different fork?
That finally conked out, it was Ohio during the storm.
Okay, so you were able to get through the Rockies and the really big, long descents, but you didn't have it for the Appalachians.
Correct. And then all I could think about was how much I hated my brakes. So, but you got used to it again, and it wasn't too big a deal.
Now with RAM, it's just if one little thing starts to go wrong, you develop a pain or an ache somewhere, and you start to try to move to a different spot, or then you start putting pressure on other parts of your body, and you don't have a whole lot of places to move in that bike. So how were you able to deal with the compilation of problems that build throughout the event?
When I did the qualifier, SoCal, and Matt was there, and he's able to look me over after, and we talked during the race, you know, head to toe, what's bothering you, monitored that during the race, and then it was like skin evaluation after.
Yeah.
And there was some huge warning signs that that he, you know, he made a list, and he's like, solve these. They have to be solved. And, you know, again, with the idea that if you do a 24-hour race and you've got a big wound on your hip, okay, big deal, it's going to heal.
Right.
But if you start, you know, 12 days that way, or even on the fifth day you have a problem, of course that's just going to get worse. So I went home and prototyped and came up with, sort of a way to handle each issue. Sort of this hip problem I had, I kept trying to make different pads that would work. A harder problem to solve than I thought, and you know, by now 12 days in, both hips are really badly bruised, just maybe the smallest kind of wound, but they fared really well. And it's chamois cream and foam pads.
That was my first thought with skin wounds, was wow, yeah. That's impressive. And I'm kind of sleeping myself, so hang on one sec. Your hands with braking, we get a lot of hand numbness, and I'm just thinking of your arms and the repetitive motion there through that, but then you also have to use your brakes and shift gears with your hands. Any issues at all?
Yeah, they are pretty used to it, so I've done some off-road like wheelchair races, and the hands just get thrashed there, because there you're working with, you know, a rim with grip, and you're pushing on that and braking with friction. So my hands have been destroyed in the past, and this seems a little mild by comparison.
Oh, did.
but I did immediately develop, which was surprising so quickly, sort of tendonitis, or our wrists were in a lot of pain. You know, so we started with braces and then tapes, and we ended up taping them every day from then on. And that actually got better after 5 or 6 days, you know, where they were pretty much throbbing all day, every day, to where they, it's just kind of background noise. And, you know, my fingers are all numb completely.
Yeah.
That's happened before with one or two, and, you know, some of them won't go straight. So we had to cut some fingers off gloves just to get them on, because people would spend so much time in the glove trying to like straighten this pinky out and then get it in the hole and then put the glove on. So just little things along the way that we had to mess with. But these grips are smooth, they're fairly comfortable, and by the end of it they feel like, I mean, these images of weird metal sharp objects were in my mind the whole time, because it's strange. A little scratch in the paint, you know, after time just becomes pretty painful. But yeah, hands and arms, I mean, you know, what you see cyclists out there doing with their feet, have to go through the hands.
Yeah, exactly. Talk a little bit about your race. Did you feel like you were out there racing the whole time, or was it ever just kind of a riding across the country? How did you stay competitive?
Early on, it felt more like a race, I'd say, because I saw more people. And I think at some point, I don't know, it was 4 days in or so, I think it was like 10th,
yeah,
something, which was pretty surprising. Someone who's DNF'd and Ram told me that there's just a lot of personal things going on in his life, and he said he knew in the first maybe 200 miles that he wasn't going to finish. I think it took him, you know, 5-6 days. Mm-hmm. That's happened sort of in that SoCal race for me, where early on there was sort of just some issues, you know, that was going over in my head. So I really wanted to start with full conviction that I was ready, that anything that came up, you know, like new directions in life or whatever, those were going to be great, great explorations and maybe some interesting choices made, but we're still going to do the race, and then we could, you know, go into that and changes that I wanted to make. So it started with the concept that I was out there riding my bike all day, every day, and the end wasn't important. This was my life now on the bike. It took a while to get into it because one of the things I even in starting the race didn't fully understand is just how into it you are. I mean, I had a mechanical, and I got in the van at a gas station, and I just sat there and looked around, and I was like, this is the first time, you know, in 4 days that there's been any reality that wasn't, you're on the bike, you're right. Getting ready, you know, they're getting you ready for your 90 minutes in the back of the van, or they're waking you up from that and getting you ready for the bike. And that's pretty challenging to commit to for that many days. So that was by far the biggest challenge for me mentally, to get in there and say, oh, it's day two, do 10 more, you know, this 10 more times. This day is just too heavy. It's too heavy to handle. But just, okay, made it today, so tomorrow you will as well. And you've been doing it for 2 days now, so the third, it'll be fine. And then finally it just became reality, and it was great.
Attitude in the Appalachians, really tough climbs here at the end. It's the most difficult as far as foot per mile of climb on the course. But then your speed really picked up when you came out of the mountains. You got fast last day.
I can't say much about it. I don't remember just yet what was going on when. I'm thinking of map it all out. There's a few series during the race where I thought I was behind and wasn't going to finish. You know, going into Durango was one. That day in Utah was really hot, and there are some kind of steep, you know, short
Monument Valley stuff.
Some steep climbs. And then I just started thinking about the clock, and I was like, oh my God, like we're doing pretty well. Everything's going well, and we're not going to make the cut in Durango. So I got really just down about that and kind of even slowed off more. And then, thanks. And for whatever reason, then I just got it in my head, like, okay, there's, you know, these two, a 5 mile climb, a 7 mile climb to kind of get to Durango. And I'm just going to ride those hard. And so I just ripped them, got in there an hour before sort of the cut there. And that's when I sort of realized, like, hey, you bounced back pretty well. You can ride as hard as you want during a race where you're not supposed to, and you'll come back. You know, just your crew will get you what you need, you know, whether it's sugar, caffeine, some tough love or whatever, and just be patient. And I kept waking up in the mornings, maybe not feeling great, but like after creaking away on the bike for 10 minutes, you know, which Matt every morning was like, all right, get on the bike, we're gonna roll, just do nothing, it's 10 minutes. Let's go, and then we'll start riding. And at the end of that 10 minutes every day, I was just ready to go. So those moments would come, and probably where you saw my speed picking up was, yeah, just waiting and then feeling good, and maybe and probably a downwind, a tailwind also, which we did get some nice ones wherever that was. Again, I doubt the process for a while.
We're very alert for a finish line interview, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us. I look forward to talking with you in a lot more detail down the road, but can't congratulate you enough on an incredible performance.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andre.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.